Will you open your Bibles with me today, please, to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, as we continue our discussion of the parables, and more particularly, the parable which we have entitled The Hid Treasure. Look again at verse 44, where that parable is presented to us. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for the joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. We have been looking at the misinterpretations of that particular parable, so I would like for us now to look briefly at what I believe is the correct interpretation of the parable. As I say to you often, I say again to you today that you have every right to say, now, you sound awfully sure about that. You think you're the only person who's right in their interpretation of the Word of God? Why do you give the interpretation you do? Well, I believe you have a perfect right to say that sort of thing, however you might express it. And I don't think it ever behooves a teacher of the Word of God to say, this is it, I said it, and I don't ask any questions about it. We tell you from time to time that we welcome your letters. Of course, we deeply appreciate those of you who recognize a financial responsibility and privilege related to this ministry, but we welcome your letters, whether there's any offering or not, which ask your Bible questions and which give your prayer requests. We realize that we can't say everything as clearly as it might be said in the few minutes that we have together. And so we're always glad to hear from you if you have a question. By the way, I might mention to you, it's mentioned from time to time, but here's a good time to mention it. We make available to you outline studies in the particular portion of the Bible that we are studying. And there are outline studies in the Gospel of Matthew for this particular portion of Matthew. Some of you are on the regular mailing list and you receive them regularly until you ask us not to send them anymore. And of course you always must do that if for whatever reason you don't want the studies or anything else that we send out. We want you to tell us that you don't have any further need for them. We'd appreciate it very much if you did. But if you're not getting the Matthew studies regularly, let me suggest that you write and say, I would like to have the outline studies. We'll be glad to put you on the list, and you may receive them as long as you wish. And when you don't want to receive them anymore, just let us know. And it's as simple as that. Well, I say to you that because I say I don't think it behooves any teacher of the Word of God to say, this is it, I've said it, don't ask any questions. You have a right to want to know why I say the things that I'm going to say. So we're going to look into the Word of God and see what the correct interpretation of this parable is. And the first thing that I would like to suggest to you is that some of the principles of interpretation for this parable have been laid down in the interpretation of the first parable, the sower and the seed, as well as the parable of the dragnet, the last parable in the whole series. And one of the things that we learned when we were looking at the interpretation of the sower and the seed is the significance of the word field. You will keep in mind that this treasure, this hid treasure, was hidden in a field. Now, what does that word field stand for? Well, we've learned in verse 38 of this 13th chapter that the field is the world. And when Jesus explained the parable of the wheat and the tares, the last parable to which I've made reference, he said exactly the same thing. So we know at once that this treasure is hid in the world. And we know that when the Lord Jesus, for he is the man in the parable, when the Lord Jesus found that hid treasure in the field, he sold all that he had to purchase the field. And so we know by that the Lord Jesus gave up everything he had to purchase the world. He sold all that he had to the world, to purchase the world. And of course, we know that is true, don't we? The Lord Jesus did purchase the whole world. For he died, not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Yes, God, in his mercy and his grace, sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die, that the field, the whole world, might be purchased to himself. Well, I think that pretty well establishes that the field is the world, but we want to look again at the scripture to know exactly what we're talking about when we talk about the treasure. We notice again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure that is hid in a field, which when the Lord Jesus Christ hath found, he hideth, and for the joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth the field, or buyeth the world. Well, what is that treasure that seems so precious to the Lord Jesus? How can we be sure what it is? Well, I'm going to suggest you turn with me, if you're able to, and if you're not, listen closely, to the 19th chapter of the book of Exodus, verse 5. There we read, "Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people, for all the earth is mine." Notice what God said to Israel, for it is Israel to whom he is speaking here. "Now, if you are what you ought to be," God was saying, "I will recognize you as a peculiar treasure." The word peculiar here is a word that means for my own possession. A treasure for my own possession. If you look carefully at that verse again, you'll notice that God said, "All the world is mine, but I will recognize you, Israel, as a very special treasure in the midst of the world." And dear one, it matters not your own personal feelings. It matters not how much you try to eliminate this fact. It's there. It's embedded in the Word of God, and it cannot be changed. Israel has a special relationship to God that the church doesn't have. Israel has a special relationship to God that the rest of the world doesn't have. Israel is God's peculiar treasure. Look with me at another passage of Scripture. Psalm 135 presents this statement in such a way that, well, we just have to accept it. For there in Psalm 135 we read, "For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure." There's just no way, is there, of getting around that. There can be no doubt, then, as to whom the treasure is supposed to represent in this parable. Now, let's go back to Matthew 13 and verse 44 and read the parable with these new discoveries in mind. Again, we read then, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto Israel, hid in the world, the which when the Lord Jesus Christ hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth, and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth the world." Now, we have our characters and our objects of interest identified in our parable, so I would like for us to examine our parable with the suggestion that it describes Israel's history for us. Remember I said there was so much packed into this one little verse? Yes, there is a reference made to Israel's history. Israel's history as a nation, as far as God's plan for her is actually concerned. If you will look again at verse 44, you read again, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field." We are told in that one simple statement that the treasure was hid in the field, once at least, before Christ hid it. This, of course, traces Israel's history way back into the distant past, to the time of Rehoboam. You're familiar with the truth of the Word of God, well, you know that Israel's first dispersion, Israel's first hiding, shall we say, happened right then. I would like for you to look at that word hid with me. It's the translation of the Greek word krypto, which may be translated very literally, having been hidden. So we know that that first word, hid, refers to something that happened in the past, something prior to the day that the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about. Of course, Israel's history reveals that Israel was dispersed in the days of Rehoboam to the land and territories immediately around the nation. You remember it better, I suppose, if you remember anything about it at all, is the Babylonian captivity. Now, another possible translation of this Greek word hid is the word dispersed. That is, they were hidden, they were dispersed at that particular time to the land of Babylon. Oh yes, they are indeed still God's peculiar treasure, but they were dispersed then, and as we look at this verse again, Matthew 13:44, the second statement, we realize that they were hidden before the time of Christ, and now they are hidden by Christ himself, or hidden at the time of the life of Christ. The era of Christ, perhaps, would be a better word to explain it. And since the word hide involves the idea of dispersion, we believe that this second hiding, or this second dispersion, occurred in 70 AD because of the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we get farther on in our study of Matthew's Gospel, we will realize the reason for those offenses and the reason why Israel was dispersed among the world. Now, because Israel was dispersed at the time of Christ, of course they are in that state of dispersion now. But remember, as we bring to a close our remarks for today's study, that the Lord Jesus, in order to get his hid treasure, in order to bring back to himself the people who were his peculiar treasure, sold all that he had and purchased the world. And we're going to talk about that a bit more in detail in our next study and learn what else there is in this parable for us. But before we leave you, we want to remind you that when we said the Lord Jesus, in order to get this hid treasure for himself, purchased the world, does not mean that Christ didn't die for you. He loves you just as much as he loves Israel, but Israel does have this special relationship. Try to be with us the next time. There's so many good things we want to talk with you about.